B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Brady fakes the give, now throws over the middle, and it is caught inside the 10 by Ryan Izzo, the tight end. Nicely connected there. Brady to Izzo in a first and goal situation for the Patriots.
Preseason game number 3 in the books. All right. Patriots win. 23-0 is still on the table.
3-0, baby.
We actually got an email about that last night.
We did.
The one thing.
On post-game show 1.0. This is 2.0.
Right. It's Hardy and Paul Perillo in for Zolak and Bertrand. Tim McCone here. Doing a lot of recap of last night's game and what we saw, what we didn't see, and all the things that you want to talk about here with us this morning on the flagship station for the Patriots, 98.5 The Sports Hub. 10-3 the final last night. Patriots beat the Carolina Panthers at Gillette Stadium. My initial thought going into the game, that of a lot of people, was first chance look at Tom Brady last night, Paul. We're gonna get a look at Tom Brady. You've seen Brady in Nashville during the joint practices. You were there. You spent some time in Detroit, too, I think.
I did.
All right. So you've had a chance to see him in something approaching game action, but this was the first chance for most of us last night to see it.
Right.
I saw it, and I got the feeling that about midway through the second quarter, Tom Brady, if he didn't verbalize to Bill Belichick, if he could, he'd probably walk over to the coach and say, "What are we doing? Kids, what? Do I need to be here for this?"
Yeah, I mean, I think there was some times with, you know, Josh Gordon still not available. Julian Edelman, right. Demaryius Thomas, even N'Keal Harry, not available. And it's basically Jacoby Myers and a bunch of guys, Philip Dorsett,
right.
and guys that, you know, quite frankly, are probably on the outside looking in. Tight end, still a problem. And, you know, I thought he looked fine when he was in there. I mentioned last night with you when we were talking about it, I thought his movement in the pocket was, you know, just the way we're always accustomed to seeing it. Did a nice job scrambling for a first down. But to your point, you know, what are we doing continuing this? How much are we going to get out of this? Other than if Brady just flat out wanted more work. Now, he always seems to want to play.
Yep.
But there was some times last night where he looked like he was a little bit indifferent. You know, the time when he sort of flipped the helmet off after.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the penalties, I think, were very frustrating for him. But in terms of Tom Brady himself, I thought he looked fine. I thought, you know, there's no signs, and this is just a continuation of what we've seen all summer. He's been sharp in practice. He was sharp in the joint practices with the Lions and the Titans, and I thought he looked like Tom Brady last night, too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to start, your 42-year-old quarterback still doesn't look his age.
Nope.
So that's
still looks good.
That's good. And you're right. And even the flipping the helmet thing, to me, that doesn't speak to indifference.
No.
That speaks to a guy who is still engaged and wants to do well. But at some point when you're watching him, and look, he got a couple of chances to go to Jacoby Myers. Here's a guy that we've been looking at all camp long, and in a couple of preseason games, you're thinking, well, this kid could be something. He, you know, and you see him connecting with Stidham on you know, big plays and 2-point conversions, and Brady seems to get excited, not so much for Stidham, I don't think, but for the fact that there's a guy out there catching footballs. Hey, maybe I can throw footballs to him that he'll be able to catch in a game. Not the case last night. So we'll get to Myers a little bit later on, but
right.
for Brady's purposes out there, at some point, whether he's thinking, I was certainly thinking it, does he even need to be here for this to make, you know, throw after throw to Philip Dorsett for gains of 3 and 4 yards? I mean, don't we know that they can do that?
Yeah, and like I said, I think you want to get him out there. This is going to be the least amount of work. I mean, obviously, assuming he doesn't get any playing time next week, which I'd be stunned if he did. This is going to be the least amount of work he's gotten in a preseason since, I think, 2008 when he didn't play at all, and that was a year that He was nursing an injury that whole summer. So I guess it's a little different. But you had, you know, last year they didn't have any joint practices. This year they had back-to-back in week one and two. And he got a lot of work during those sessions. So my guess is Belichick and Brady have talked about this and decided what they felt was the best course of action. And what I think he was 8 for 12 last night. 12,
yes.
12 attempts. He had one scramble. I thought they ran the ball pretty well. Just like I said, the penalties were killers. And I think that's what the frustrating part was for Brady and the offense is every time they seemed to get going, they would, you know, shoot themselves in the foot and go backwards and, you know, ultimately be forced to punt until they finally got a penalty against the Panthers that jump started their long drive. And then they put it in the end zone and, you know, enough here. Let's let the kid take over.
Right. And what we're doing is we're getting a lot of looks at a guy who could be a quarterback on this team at some point, but you have to go, you know, a couple of different variables into it to see. And, you know, this is what it's for everybody who argues against the four preseason games, which I've been doing for years. I think it's ridiculous that they play this many. I don't know another way that is as good, and they can do a lot in camp. They can do a lot in practices. They can do a lot in joint practices,
right?
That, you know, the coaches, obviously, they know, but this gives them another level of certainty to what I think they already know. And I guess if there were any doubts about Tom Brady, which there weren't, those were eliminated last night. Yep, he's Tom Brady. Okay, that's good. Where the preseason games, I think, are beneficial to them is when they get a look at Stidham last night in those situations. And unfortunately for some other guys on the receiving end of the football, whatever they may be thinking about them, that was probably also reinforced.
Yeah, I do think there is some value to a couple of games that help you sort of decide what you're seeing in practice is for real, or
yeah,
the opposite in some cases. And, you know, I'm not a huge preseason football fan. I don't enjoy the product all that much. I'm like most people in that regard. But I do understand for the coaches, they need time to evaluate. And for the players, they need time to actually tackle and get tackled and do it that way. And there's none of that really in training camp. You know, we're going to get into it over the next, you know, 3.5 hours here, but,
don't say it, please.
No.
Don't say the amount of time that we have left.
Right. 3 hours and 50 minutes. Byron Coward.
Yeah.
Right. 5th round pick, rookie out of Maryland.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, nondescript heading into camp. Didn't really notice him. Didn't get a lot of reps with one. I mean, is there a guy that's really been, I think most people would project him. I'm going to be working on my latest roster projection. I'm putting him on the team based on what I've seen in preseason games. So, do we overrate? Well, that guy had a sack. He made a catch. Yeah, we do. We probably overrate preseason performance. But my guess is the coaches have seen this guy show up. Last night, he's out there early in the game with a bunch of the frontline guys, and they want to see what he can do against starters, right? So, in the case of a guy like that, I think the preseason games are really valuable.
Did you publish your guess at the 53-man roster this morning? Did that go live?
No. We'll be doing that. That'll be in progress.
I don't know what that means.
I'll be doing it while the show's going on.
When was it supposed to be up?
Oh, it's not quote unquote supposed to be up. It's up when I say it's up. When it's done.
You know what, McCone? Take note. You work 22 years in the same shop, you get to call the shots.
I respect it, yeah.
Yeah. That's nice.
What do you got?
For a 53 man?
No. I did the offense already.
Okay.
I need to sort of tweak some of the defensive.
What's your you keep track over the years, what's your like percentage in terms of?
There's always at least 4 or 5 that you don't get. Well, first of all, there's almost always someone they bring in from outside the organization.
Yeah.
Like last year, they claimed a bunch of wide receivers off waivers. You can never predict that. You know it's going to happen. You just don't know who.
Right.
So
you're just dealing with the guys in camp right now.
Yeah, I feel like if you can get anywhere between 45 and 50 of the guys
right,
you've done all right.
What's the biggest one that you ever missed on in terms of a prediction or a guy that ended up not making the team?
I have to give that some thought.
Okay. Maybe you could write a little column about that, too.
Okay.
Bang that out.
Why you make me feel bad about myself?
I'm not making you feel bad about yourself.
You're asking me what my biggest miss was ever.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you say,
All right, what was your biggest?
Was there ever a guy that no one had on their roster? I don't know about that either. So,
hey, Paul, who was the one guy that you said was going to make the team? No one else said he was going to make the team.
I
who ended
think
up making
Brady
the team?
Tom Brady was going to make the team when he was a rookie.
That's the best one.
Does that count?
Yes.
I think a lot of people.
A lot of people thought he was going to be there.
Yeah, I didn't think Bishop was going to make it. I didn't think they would keep four quarterbacks, but I thought Brady would make
him.
It.
All right,
Michael Bishop.
Loved him.
I'll fight you later.
Let's talk about how many quarterbacks are going to be on this roster, because you talk about some minds that were changed last night, and Paul and I were laughing about this last night. We have the luxury of changing our minds every 20 minutes. Something tells me, as you said last night, I don't think Belichick and his staff changed their mind with every series in the preseason.
Oh, he fumbled. He's out. Oh, you see that slant he's in?
Guy sucks. I had Jacoby Myers starting wide receiver last week. Now, get him out of here today.
Yeah, the way I like to put it is, I don't think Bill rides the roller coaster that we do.
I don't think Bill rides roller coasters, period. We're not in the safe confines of Gillette Stadium anymore. So we're going to do a solid 3 hours on Patrick Chung today. We are really going to get into it, unless you're going to leave.
I'm sorry. I think my headphones.
If there are anything more to talk about Patrick Chung today, I guess we would. But I don't think there's anything new to talk about.
We'll leave that to the updates.
All right,
Tim. Well, what do you got?
Thanks, guys.
Matt McCone's got his grown-up newsboy clothes on today.
He does.
He's heading down to do some TV later today.
Yeah. Are you on the television set later?
I am.
You'll be on the TV set later today. I can tell by the shirt he's wearing.
He's a good-looking lad, though. He could be a film star too.
Yeah. we'll talk about the quarterback depth on this team as we continue here. Hardy and Paul Perillo in for Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stidham takes the snap, drops back, pressured, throws. It's pop over the middle. Jacoby Myers with his first reception of the evening into Carolina territory and a Patriots first down.
Zolak and Bertrand, it's Hardy and Paul Perillo filling in. By the way, nice job on the TV last night, Paul, and Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak. It's a good broadcast. I mean, I know there were technical issues last night, but you and Bob and Zo do a great job on the games.
We have some fun doing it. I think it's still different. You know, the way that the Patriots sort of envision, kind of the talk show element of it, I think, is still new to a lot of people, but. I think there are times in the second half, especially, where it gets a little conversational. We're going back and forth, and Ninkovich, Rob chimes in. And I like to lean on the football guys when I'm talking about specific things.
Sure.
About techniques. Like we were talking about the defensive line last night. Mike Pennell is out there, and Dietrich Wise. It's the second half, and I'm wondering, are they doing some things differently that maybe doesn't fit that specific skill set? And I think a guy like Rob Ninkovich, who's been in that defense, certainly hell of a lot more qualified to discuss it than I am. I'm just sort of looking observationally and seeing a veteran out there late in the fourth quarter while most of the regular guys are, on the sideline yucking it up. I'm wondering if that's a bad sign. So,
the whole mood and tenor of a preseason game lends itself to that more conversational tone. So
right. That
part of it works. And I thought Roche and Chatham were great on the radio side last night, too. I was in the booth watching the game from there, so listening to them
it's good to hear.
Yeah, they were very good. So nice job by everybody actually working the game itself.
Nice job, everyone.
Thank you. 7-7. Keep them coming. Let's go to Mark in Medford. He wants to talk about Jacoby Myers. We're going to do quarterbacks right now, Mark, but go ahead. I don't want you to hang too long, and I know you got a thought on Jacoby. So what is it, Mark? What do you got?
I just noticed at the beginning of the game last night that it looked like Jacoby had happy feet when Brady was throwing him the ball for some apparent reason. But when Stidham came in, they connected on almost every pass.
I have my reason why, but I'm going to let Paul answer. Paul, what is the reason, do you think, for that? If you, in fact, you saw the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know the happy feet or whatever, but I think that the differences that I've seen the last 2 weeks with Myers is when he's playing against first string defensive backs, it's a little bit tougher.
That's it.
For him to get open.
And pretty much when Stidham is throwing in the ball, the twos and the threes are in.
Right.
Now, when he was in with Brady at the start of the game last night, Jacoby Myers was going up against first string defensive backs.
Right. And there was certainly the play on the first series that he looked like Brady thought he maybe manipulated the safety a little bit and was expecting Myers to continue on a post and, you know, the deep ball, and he kind of cut off his route, and certainly they weren't on the same page there.
No,
but
I mean,
I have noticed that he's not as in the clear against Tennessee early in the game, and certainly not last night.
We'll get to Jacoby Myers a little bit later. I want to talk about the fact that Stidham came into the game midway through the second quarter.
Interesting.
And we talked a bit about it yesterday here, Jones and I, and then again last night on the Patriots.com pregame, where between the three of us, me, you, and D-Train, you two thought Stidham would be coming in the second half. I thought it was going to be Hoyer. I'm like, okay, they'll both get some action tonight, but they're not going to upset the apple cart to the extent where they're going to bring in Stidham. Even if it means nothing, it's going to mean something to us. And sure enough, Stidham came in midway through the second. What does that tell you?
I just think it's exactly what Bill talked about after the game. I think that Hoyer's played a lot of football. I think they've seen him play a lot, and I'm not sure that they are going to get much out of having him go out there, whereas I do think Stidham, in the middle of the second quarter, what I was surprised about, what I thought was interesting, is it was a little earlier than I thought. I figured Tom would play the first half. Now, there was a fair amount of plays in there, and Bill probably looks at it more in snaps and as opposed to time of game. But it was halfway through the second quarter, Stidham comes out, and I think there is a benefit to getting him some reps with some of the, you know, at least the twos, at least higher level caliber players than he had been playing with in against the first couple of weeks. So I'm not overly surprised, as you said. I thought Stidham would replace Brady. I just thought he would do it a little bit later.
Yeah, I guess I thought that they were still operating under the default belief that Hoyer was going to be the guy and he would benefit from, you know, that work, the same work you were talking about with Stidham. But as Belichick put it, as you mentioned, you know, in the press conference, Brian's played a lot of football. And Stidham has not played that much football at this level.
Right.
Yeah, very little. You know, the preseason action that he's gotten and the joint practice stuff, literally that's it. How many years has Hoyer been in the league?
I think this is his 11th year.
Oh, God. Which, good for him.
No, nice solid career.
Nice, solid, serviceable backup. He's played a lot of football. It's kind of like the Brady to Philip Dorsett thing. We know what this is. We pretty much can tell you what Brian Hoyer is going to do against these guys. We've seen it before. We've seen him in these situations. We know what it is. Still not totally sure what we have in Stidham. So you can write it off to that. You could also very easily start talking yourself into the belief that they are not going to go with three quarterbacks. And this is part of the roller coaster that we ride. And 2 weeks ago, I was absolutely, you know, Hoyer's going to be the backup and they're going to bring Stidham along. I think I floated it out maybe a week ago. Well, if Stidham continues to look this good, what do you need Hoyer for? And you know what you need Hoyer for? The times when you saw Stidham struggle last week and you saw him a little bit again last night. Well, maybe it's not the dumbest idea to have three quarterbacks on this roster.
Well, I mean, like I said before, I spent the entire spring and really the first part of the summer completely convinced, never even given it any thought, that they wouldn't keep all three.
Yeah.
I thought that would be the course of action. Now, as these three preseason weeks have checked off and I've seen Stidham play, now I've seen the bad plays too. I'm not one of these guys that ignores the balls that he's thrown up for grabs that just haven't been caught by the defensive backs. I've seen the ups and downs that come with a rookie fourth-round pick at that position. But I've seen also a lot of stuff to be excited about. And I think his development is a little bit further than I thought. I look at him and I look at Brian Hoyer and I don't see a whole lot of difference. Now, there's an immense difference in terms of experience. We all know that. I don't know exactly what they're asking these guys to do. Maybe it's, the ability that Hoyer would have to go in and run a semblance of the offense as compared to Stidham might be night and day. They might have to have it, you know, pared down to a ridiculous level in order to have Stidham play a real game. I don't know. But based on the performance, I don't really see a huge difference there. And I think there's a legit chance that they might keep too.
I don't think there's any difference if you're talking about a situation where you need one of these guys to come in and finish a quarter. If Brady were for, you know, some reason to go out and he needs to be looked at, you know, think of like a Kyle Van Noy type of situation, like we saw from him last night.
Right.
You know, he's down. You're like, oh, that's not good. And by the way, credit to Bertrand, who was watching the play, and I was sitting next to him watching it live, and his head's always in the right place on stuff like that. He said, oh, who are we going to get for an interview now? Not that Kyle Van Noy is necessarily locked in for every week this year, but, you know, fingers crossed. Luckily, he was up
Team
soon
guy,
afterward.
Beetle, I love it.
Yeah. Luckily, up soon afterward and walking the sideline, back in the
back
game.
Back in the game, which right? I thought was really, really surprising.
For a veteran.
Yeah, great. I mean, obviously great that they dodged a bullet there.
Right.
It did look like, I mean, it looked hyperextension, not necessarily ACL, but still.
But if Brady were to somehow leave a game in, you know, in a similar situation, right? And you need someone to come in and cover, you know, a couple few series or finish a game, I don't think there's any difference between Stedham and Hoyer. I think you're asking guys of very similar skill sets right now at this point in time to do that job. I think the more interesting conversation becomes, okay, Brady needs a week or two, and we think he's going to be okay. We've got, you know, a playoff position locked up as long as we don't, you know, lose the rest of our games for, you know, the last four or five of the season here. Let's see what we can do. And I think that's where it becomes a more interesting conversation.
I would agree, and I've used that analogy a lot. If it was, you know, Brady, you know, sprained a knee or something and just couldn't play for three games.
Right, and then you got the bye week.
So we
got to buy him a month. Who do you get in there for, you know, for three games and a bye week to cover for you?
No, serious injury and Brady's going to miss 10, 12 games, I'd rather have Stidham. I'd rather just let him play and let him get the experience and understand that over the long haul, I'm probably not going to win enough games to get the bye and do what I want to do and maybe even make the playoffs. I don't know. But on a short-term thing, you know, I think Hoyer's probably safer, and that might be the way they look at it. But again, Stidham has played so well, I don't know that there's a huge difference there. Again, what you don't know is what the coaching would have to entail. Do you remember a couple years ago, the year that Brady was suspended, and Garoppolo started, and then he gets knocked out of that Miami game, and, you know, the game that Brissett had to play on the Thursday night against Houston as a rookie.
Yeah, yeah.
That offense was nothing resembling the Patriots offense. They gave Brissett this package of plays. They, you know, played close
Six
to the vest.
Of them. Yeah.
The Texans decided they couldn't handle a kickoff that night. They kept giving him the ball, and he made that great run.
Yep.
I think it was like a 25-yard touchdown run. That's all they needed.
Yeah.
The defense and the special teams won the game. But they didn't ask Brissett to do too much. And then the next week, they tried to do it again against Buffalo, and they got shut out.
Right.
Like, that's what you don't
At
know.
Home.
Like, how much could Jarrett Stidham actually run the regular offense? Game plan, we're going to ask you to do all the things that, you know, we would ask our quarterback to do. Because every single one of those guys has always made the comment, the playing quarterback in this system isn't easy.
Right.
It's not an easy system for a quarterback.
But with a defense as good as this one looks, it becomes an even more interesting conversation. Oh. How much do you need the offense to really do, Paul? Let's talk about that defense in a couple of minutes, huh? Also, later on, 11:45, actually 11:50, we're going to be doing this Scotty's kickoff giveaway again. Did you notice the kid come out of the field and take the tee off last night?
I did not.
Well, we set that up. We got that. We set all that up right here, the Scotty's kickoff giveaway. Some kid is going to get the, and this is for next week's game too. It's not just show up, grab the tee, go off. No, you get a 4-pack of tickets to the preseason game against the Giants, on-field passes, Patriots Pro Shop gift card, the autographed football from Stephen Gostkowski, and you'll be on the field to pick up the tee after the kickoff. It's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
So we're going to be giving that away at 11:50 today. Tim McCohen gets its update, and then we're going to talk about that defense next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
An app. Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kyle Allen is in at quarterback for Cam Newton. He takes a shotgun snap. He's pressured and he's brought down. Michael Bennett with the sack. His first, I believe, as a member of the New England Patriots. And that'll push them way back, and Carolina will be forced to punt with 1:43 and counting to go in the first half.
I like this, Tom. We're not going Chili Peppers. We're going Ohio Players. Love Roller Coaster. Tom Morgan is an old soul.
I like that because you know what I am. I'm old.
Yeah, it's just you can relate. Is this is Ohio Players, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it is. All right, let's go to Blair and Manning talking about the Patriots today. 10-3 win over the Carolina Panthers last night at Gillette Stadium. Blair, what do you got for us this morning, buddy?
Long time no talk. Long time no see.
That's
How's
right.
it been?
Everything's
I've
great,
I've not
Blair.
Talked to you guys in a while. I haven't talked to you, Hardy, in a while.
That's right. That's right. Now, hey. did you have your competition, by the way, Blair?
No, there's not been a competition.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't been a while, but I went to a really nice golf course yesterday.
Oh, nice.
I went to, it was called Marindale Country Club, wasn't it, Mom? Yeah, it was Marindale Country Club in Auburn, Maine.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you got a chance to do that. I've been working nonstop for the last 4 months.
I went in on the big jab yesterday. It was 96.3 out here in Maine.
Wow.
So I went on air with them for about 2 minutes. They were hosting a big golf tournament for the Patriots and the Red Sox golf tournament.
Excellent.
It was an all-day thing, and it was a huge thing. It was cool. I met a bunch of guys that listened to me all the time on the Big Jab.
Nice.
And it was a really cool thing because I met a guy from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, wow.
So it was like Portland area, yeah.
Cool.
He flew in to see his brother, whatever. It was cool. And I was talking to him. It was really cool, and talking college football, and it was really cool. All these guys I met. One guy, I'll tell you this. One guy next year, this couple guys want me to drive their golf cart next year for their for the same tournament to be their caddy and drive the golf cart around for them and to go find the golf balls.
That's
for them when they lose them.
And Blair, I'm going to tell you right now, and thanks for the call, that's called a 4-caddy job. Minimum pay for that should be $50 a guy. So you should walk with $200 after a job like that.
Wow.
That's a good gig if you can get it. All right?
I'll get my son in on that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying at every club. I'm saying that's what you should be expecting. And if they try and hand you less than that, you just keep your hand out and just, you know, keep waiting for more.
So you won't just receive total consciousness?
I think that might be a little high.
Okay.
You should get at least $100 for a 4-caddy gig there, Blair. We're going to talk about the defense here because, once again, they impressed last night. I mean, I think the way you put it most accurately last night, Paul, after the game, pressure. The pressure from the defense last night
was... That's been the one constant in every game. All three games, and it's constant pressure from a variety of sources. It's not like they have this one Von Miller guy who just keeps getting the edge and is constantly a thorn in the quarterback's
right.
side. It comes from everywhere. They've been blitzing. They've been stunting.
Showing blitz.
They've just been beating.
Dropping back.
They've just been flat out beating guys. Yep. Like Kyle Van Noy last night just ran around the tight end there. You know, for Carroll, I think Manhurts. That name kind of stuck in my head. Manhurts. So it hasn't just been one thing. It's just been constant pressure. And it certainly looks like, you know, Bill is allowing the coaches, you know, Mayo, I think his son Steve Belichick was involved in it last night. Brett Beal, I think they're turning it loose.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if there's been any kind of a change in philosophy. It looks a little different. The alignments are a little different. I think they've had many of those fronts that you can't really tell exactly who's coming and who's not, who's dropping in coverage. But every yard I thought the Panthers got last night, especially in the first half, like, was really hard to come by. They were just dominant.
And it like you said, it seemed like one of those games where every yard they had to fight for, and they were probably thankful for it. And they squirted loose a couple of times. There were one or two runs over 10 yards and a couple of completions that I don't think it was Cam Newton who made them. So again, it was, you know, later on in the game for the most part. But any gains that they got last night, they really had to fight for.
Yeah.
And they had to figure something out or even get a little lucky in order to get those yards.
And it's been so dominant that I'm sort of tired of it's just preseason, it's the summer. Okay, great. But they're allowing like 100 yards of offense. Like the other teams have consistently, with the exception of the first half of the Tennessee game, the other team has not really been able to move the ball. You know, the entire game for Detroit and really the entire game last night and the second half for Tennessee, the other team has not been able to move the ball with any sort of consistency. I mean, last night, it's a 10-3 game, and I know you don't care who wins the game, right?
No.
But it's the last 2 minutes. You have a two-minute drive, and the Patriots come up with a sack to create a 4th-and-22, and the Panthers punted from inside their 10. Like, I just feel like that Rivera probably thought, better to get my punter out here and get another rep of punting than knowing I'm not going to pick up this 4th-and-22.
Then trying like, okay, it doesn't matter if we win, but again, we were watching it last night. It's like, why don't you try and win the game? Well, because it doesn't matter if you win, but I think you nailed it. It would be more beneficial to watch my punting unit pin deep and see how they react than to see them get blown up on a 4th-and-22 try, which is what would have happened.
Yeah.
The time of possession last night, 37:06 for the Pats, 22:54 for the Panthers. They ran 41 plays and gained a total yards of 99.
Wow. I'm not big on the stat. I didn't even realize that they didn't even have 100 yards when
no,
I said that.
99 yards.
It's I think that those 35-25 type time of possessions,
or 37-23.
Might be pretty common this year.
Wow.
I think the Patriots have a pretty deep backfield. I think while the passing game is sort of getting straightened out and, you know, Josh Gordon gets back into the mix, and I think we know what Edelman can do, I think they're going to lean on Sony Michel. We haven't talked about him yet. I thought he looked terrific last night.
No, and we will for sure. But we mentioned Cam Newton here briefly. Seemed to suffer some kind of an injury. There were Patriots injuries too, which we should mention.
Yeah, the foot injury for Cam Newton was big in terms of nationally. But yeah, we had a handful of Patriots go down.
Okay, let's get to that next as we'll talk about the injuries from last night. Sony Michel, who was good, and some things that deserve mention that weren't so good last night. We've been focusing in on the positives and the knowns and the interesting stories between Brady and the quarterbacks. We got to talk about some injuries, and we got to talk about some receivers last night. So we'll do that. Here with Paul Perillo and Hardy, and for Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Paul Perillo from Patriots.com. Filling in here this morning, morning after Patriots preseason game number 3. The Patriots won last night, 10-3. More on the Patriots coming back here in a minute. Well, let's talk to Trainwreck real quick here. Want to? The gentleman's name is Trainwreck.
From, interesting.
From all I know here. He's from New Hampshire, which kind of starts to explain.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Oh, really good. How are you, Trainwreck?
I'm doing good today. Hey, Mr. Perillo, you do a good job. I appreciate your work. Hey, I want to make a joke
here
about AB from Oakland.
All right. Antonio Brown?
Yes.
Okay.
You know something? He's got 39 different brands of helmets he could pick from. I swear he must have mixed up his Viagra and his laxative. He doesn't know if he's coming or going.
Wow.
39.
Good
setup. The next thing you're going to say is what's the next issue he's going to have? How many passes? Now, oh, my shoes don't match my hat. You know what's funny? I took my wife out the other day to get a beach hat.
Mrs.
Well, it was actually last week. She went on vacation down there with the girls, our kids, to Marshfield.
No, his wife's
and
name
I had an easier
time
picking a hat out for her.
Yeah.
One of those big floppy beach hats, you know? She's
sure.
Brunettes or hair and stuff.
Kind of like Tom Brady wore
last
night.
Hey, I like the color of this one. Does it fit? Yeah, good. We'll take it.
Uh-huh.
This Swamp Donkey, I'm serious. Okay. Unbelievable.
Trainwreck, thank you for the call. Are we getting to the point where we need a graphic for calls from New Hampshire, too? We already have the Welcome to Maine graphic that goes up on NBC Sports when we get the Maine calls. New Hampshire, we've always thought is being a little closer to home. I mean, for the most part, it is.
Really?
But it's approaching Maine status.
I have to be careful.
With some of the phone calls.
I have very close relatives that live in New Hampshire, but I'll be careful.
Hillbilly relatives. But mine are all down in the actual hills of Virginia. My hillbilly relatives.
Too.
Yeah, see? All right.
I'm kidding. I'm sure my cousins are listening right now.
Sony Michel last night. Very good. To me, here's another guy who, or at least a guy I thought I knew what he was coming into the game. And talk about a roller coaster with him last year. There were a lot of people who were up and down, and he certainly got better, I think, as the year went on. But damned if he didn't look like he picked up right where he left off from last year last night.
Yeah, I thought he looked different last night than he looked last year.
I thought he
was solid last year. I have no I think that the early criticism of him, specifically from my buddies Mike and Tony, I thought was a little odd.
I don't remember either one of them being critical of Sony Michel.
Really? Okay. You almost got me with that one. So I didn't really understand what he had done that was, you know, so worthy of that level of criticism. But I also thought toward the end it was sort of bordering on a little overrated. You know, I thought he had a very solid workmanlike rookie season. Last night, he's making guys miss. He's, you know, outrunning guys. He's getting to the edge, getting to the second level. Unfortunately, the best run that he turned in ended up getting wiped out. But
right. He
still made those guys miss. Like, that run didn't become less impressive. It wasn't because he got this huge hole because of a holding, you know, this holding call opened this big hole and he just ran 60 yards. He made four or five guys miss in small spaces. He looked a little quicker to me. He looked a little slimmer to me. I thought Zoe made that comment during the broadcast that he looks like he's slimmed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully he's healthy and can stay that way. But last night was, I think that was a little bit of the electric Sony Michel that we remember from Georgia. And we didn't see a lot of that last year. And if he can add that kind of a big play element to the running game, that could change things offensively for them in a hurry.
Yeah. And he wasn't getting a ton of work later on in the game. When did Sony Michel leave the game
early
last night? He was done in the first half.
Yeah, I don't think he played after Brady left.
Yeah, so it's not like he was out. It's not like he was out there picking apart.
He played against the Panthers
twos and
once.
Threes. And he looked confident. He looked like he had not a hesitation at the line, but he wasn't just hitting the hole and trying to make something happen. He was finding a spot and then breaking a tackle after he found his spot and working his way through. Just a really relaxed, confident performance from him last night.
Yeah, it's like I said, it was that elusiveness that I think we were looking for and a little bit of the explosiveness, the breakaway element. He had two runs that he got to the second level and then was able to get outside and make a much bigger play out of it. And I think both of them wound up getting called back. But again, that doesn't take away from the fact that he made guys miss. There was penalties that happened, sure, but he still, I thought, looked explosive last night. That's a, if that's what we're going to get from him this year, I think that creates a different element of the running game. It's not, you know, 4 or 5 yards a pop. It's 4 or 5 yards, and then the, you know, the potential to bust one for 50.
Yeah. Who got hurt last night?
Brandon King was the big one. You know, I said, you know, during the post-game show, you know, there's Dr. David Chow, who used to work for the Chargers. He's a good follow on Twitter for all the medical stuff. He thought it looked like a quad tendon, you know, situation. And I think Jim McBride in Tim's update mentioned, Jim McBride from the Boston Globe, by the way, is the best in this area with injury information. He always seems to have accurate information. It looks like he's going to be lost for the year with a torn quad, I think you said, Tim. Torn?
Yeah, McBride's saying that he's likely done for the season with a torn quad.
Okay. So that, I mean, I know that doesn't seem like a huge injury, you know, special teams, blah, blah, blah. He's a pretty vital guy as a core four special teamer. Very well.
How are they going to miss him? Is it as much leadership as it is the
performance?
He's a good
special teams player.
Okay.
I don't know, you know, what kind of, I'm sure he's pretty strong in that room, the core special teams guys, but you know, I think we've sort of talked about different guys, and I don't know exactly, you know, player for player, you know, who replaces Brandon King. I don't know all the different specific roles and what, you know, but a guy like Keon Crossan, you know, does this open up a spot for him? You know, who might have been looking on the outside. He may have been in anyway. I don't know. Nate Ebner is a core special teams guy that I think some people thought, well, you could save a little money by trimming here. Someone that was going to be on the bubble moved on to the team last night with that injury, because he was going to, I think Brandon King was a lock.
We mentioned Kyle Van Noy, who went down and, you know, very nervous because, you know, we've seen him kind of get a resurgence, you know, with his time so far in New England. You know, he's an important player. Went down, didn't look great as he was down in the field, but then on the sideline, walking around, went back into the game, which is remarkable in a preseason game, especially for a veteran.
Him going back into the game completely wipes that off the table to me, as anything to even be concerned about. I think if there was any way they had any concerns, that he wouldn't have gone back in.
Right.
So that was a great sign.
Anyone else?
They had a couple. Ben Watson looked like he's dealing with a possible concussion. Ridiculous cheap shot, I thought, by Eric Reed. He caught a pass short of the first down, and Reed, not only late, but high, sort of going up around the head and neck area. And, you know, it's just interesting, and I'm not saying that these two things are correlated in any way, but I know Ben Watson this week tweeted something back at Eric Reed about the whole coalition. You have it?
We do. Let's do that in 90 seconds here.
Okay.
Okay, because there's a bit of a story there that we can talk about, and then we'll get into the receivers from last night, too, after Tim McCone gets us updated here. 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and Paul Perillo of Patriots.com filling in this morning. Tim McCone on headlines talking about last night's game and an incident in last night's game between Eric Reed and a late hit on Ben Watson of the Patriots. Now, this, I guess you could say, all started when the Panthers safety went off on Jay-Z and Jay-Z's suggestion that the league has moved past kneeling during the national anthem. So Eric Reed said, among other things, I could be completely wrong, but since the $89 million announcement with the Players Coalition, what's come of that? We get to pretend we care about social justice. We get to pretend we care about the black community. And we get to hide behind Malcolm Jenkins' face. And we get to hide behind Jay-Z's face and not do anything. And it all leads back to Colin Kaepernick. He said, you know, with regard to him, I believe he said something like, it would be better if he had a job. And, you know, he still thinks there is a, you know, been this conspiracy to keep Kaepernick out of the league.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the league that still think that Kaepernick has been blacklisted, and they're probably not wrong. I think there's a lot of
blacklisted, or every team has decided independently that for what he would bring to the team, he's not worth the trouble.
That's what I'm saying, and that's why I see they're probably not wrong. I think if it was just in a vacuum, is he good enough to be, you know, a quarterback on one of the teams, you know, the first or second quarterback on one of 32 teams? I think the answer is yes. But I think it's a lot more complicated than that.
Well, and there's a big difference between blacklisting, which to me speaks of a conspiracy where all owners get together and say, we are not going to give Colin Kaepernick a job.
Right.
And each team deciding individually,
not worth it.
He could be a backup quarterback for us. He might even be able to start a couple of games if we need him to. But man, there's going to be a big segment of our fan base that won't like it. It's not worth it.
But you're also, even if it's not necessarily the fan base, but it's the constant attention. It's the potential distraction. Now, we've seen in New England, that stuff doesn't matter here. Because I've never seen a team completely ignore distractions the way the Patriots have over the last 20 years. Doesn't matter what it is. It almost never derails anything that they do. It might hurt them for a week or so, but it never lingers. But most teams aren't like that. That's one of the things that separates New England from the rest of the pack, is they're able to, with their coaching and leadership, they're able to get through these things. Some teams aren't. And you're constantly going to have your players in your locker room answering questions about their beliefs. And now, instead of football, we're worried about politics. And it's a very complicated, layered situation with Kaepernick. But I understand where both sides are coming from. I mean, if I were a team and I had, you know, I had a quarterback, I wouldn't necessarily want to invite a problem like that into my locker room. If I'm on the Kaepernick side and I look at it and I say, this guy clearly has the ability to play. You know, you're telling me there's 32 backup quarterbacks better than him? That's probably not the case.
Yeah. But to me, it comes down to the fact that did they conspire? Did the league's owners?
Probably not.
I don't.
But I don't know. I don't know that. I don't put it past them. I have no idea.
It seems a little far-fetched to me that they would all get together and decide on the number of things that they can't agree on. That they would all agree to make this clandestine agreement that
someone would get on top of a soapbox and say, this is what they try to make me do, but I'm not going to do it.
No one hires Colin Kaepernick. You guys, no one do it. No one do. Really? You think they agreed on that? Out of all the stuff that they haven't been able to agree on, that's the one thing that they agreed on? I think if he could help a team, there would be, if he would be a legitimate help to a team and help them toward winning, not just as a serviceable backup, but help them toward winning, that some team probably would have hired him if it weren't for just not worth it. Man, it's literally going to affect, if they think it's going to affect their bottom line,
right,
then it's probably not going to happen. Anyway, so
that was the Ben Watson injury. That's how we got sidetracked there.
Okay, so that was Eric Reed's thing last week. It's like this whole Jay-Z thing, it's window dressing. It's not helping anything. I could be completely wrong, but what's changed, right? Ben Watson tweeted a few days ago, and this is his tweet. He typed out, quote starts with, I could be completely wrong, but yes, you are wrong. You know the work many of us, including Malcolm Jenkins, have done. No one entity owns this movement. We are all a continuation of the generations who fought before us. We need each other. A well thought out, well written Twitter statement from Benjamin Watson.
And Ben Watson has always been pretty outspoken about his beliefs in that regard. And whether it be with player association kind of dealings, and he's always been a pretty cerebral guy, going back to his first tour here in New England when he was just a kid, first round draft pick coming out of Georgia back in 2004. So he's always been a guy who is about more than just football. You know, the whole shut up and dribble? Yeah, he's never been one of those guys.
Right. So last night in the game, Brady throws a pass to Watson.
Yep.
Watson catches the ball, gets hit. I'm just watching it. Once, twice he goes down, and then Reed comes in and delivers a late hit shoulder to helmet.
Yeah, high hit, too.
I mean, yeah,
it was one thing to be late, but that was high.
Yeah, it was late, it was high, it was all bad. So automatically, people connect the dots there. Hey, Eric Reed, Ben Watson, what are the chances? What are the odds? So Eric Reed was asked about it in the locker room last night.
Kind of take us through what happened on the hit to Ben Watson.
Just trying to stop him from getting the first down. I looked at the replay. Yeah, he was down. We'll see what the lead stops do with it. I anticipate myself getting the fine, but yeah, just playing again.
I think some people drew the connection between Ben's tweet and then the hit. Was it personal at all?
What tweet?
The tweet that Ben Watson tweeted, you saying that you were wrong about the players' collision.
I didn't even know your tweet. Okay. That's not even something that you process in a game.
Right.
I'm not analyzing who has the ball in their hand and what they tweeted at me while I'm playing the game. So.
Can we stop it there for 1 second? What he said there was, the question was, is that a response to what he tweeted? Reed said, I didn't even know he tweeted me. That's
a lie.
Of course it's a lie.
That's a lie.
That's not even something you process in a game. That part I believe. You're not thinking about tweets necessarily in the middle of a play. I'm not analyzing who has the ball in their hand and what they tweeted at me while I'm playing the game. Maybe not in that instance, but you're telling me that Eric Reed didn't know he was on the field with Ben Watson?
Yeah.
It's so late and it's so high. We just watched it again. It's
only he knows if he did it on purpose because of that reason. But to suggest that he didn't know and that you're not thinking to yourself, if I get a shot in this game, if I get a chance?
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Well, if he's lying about the tweet, which we all believe he is, then he just, it puts into question everything else he says after that. Well, you're lying about that and you must be lying about this, which I believe he is. I think he knew it was Ben Watson. I think he put a late hit on him. I think he wanted to hurt him. I think he didn't like being called out on Twitter. All right. There's more, Tom?
Okay. That's not even something that you process in a game.
Right.
I'm not analyzing who has the ball in their hand and what they tweeted at me while I'm playing the game. So
it looked like you said something to him, tried to help him up. What did you just say in that moment?
I just asked if he was okay, if he could stand up. You hate to see somebody get hurt.
What do you think of Robert Kraft's efforts as an owner when it comes to...
Okay, so the question is, what do you think of Robert Kraft's efforts as an owner? Just so we get this as it comes out. Go ahead, Tom.
What do you think of Robert Kraft's efforts as an owner when it comes to social justice?
What has he done as it relates to social justice?
What has he done for social justice? Am I getting the quote there correct?
Yep.
Okay. I'm sure Robert Kraft would list all kinds of things. I do not keep track. I don't have a social justice scoreboard here. I don't know if that's everything from Meek Mill to charitable donations to whatever. I don't know how you run the gamut. But Eric Reed's having none of it. He's having none of it from Eric Reed.
Which is one of the reasons why I don't believe him.
Right. Eric Reed has cemented himself in his position on this. He thinks Jay-Z and what the league is doing is wrong. He thinks the league is conspiring to keep Colin Kaepernick out. He doesn't want to hear from Ben Watson and what anyone else is doing. He doesn't want to talk about Robert Kraft. It is someone who is convinced that they are right, that they have the answers.
Exactly.
And anything else anything else that anyone is doing is not as good as what he's doing because I'm right and you guys are all just part of this larger conspiracy, right?
Yeah.
To throw money at a problem, to not really do anything about it, blah, 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 blah. I go back to what Ben Watson said, which I think is probably the best statement out of all of this, in that no one entity owns this movement. You don't get to take ownership of social justice with a capital S and a capital J, you know? Yeah,
he said, I know Reed is really tight with Kaepernick because they were teammates, right? So it's more personal. But
yes,
what Watson said is absolutely 100% correct.
We are all a continuation of the generations who fought before us. We need each other. I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. I get the feeling that Eric Reed would like a little more division before there's any kind of unity. He's not interested in bringing these things together. He wants to make clear cut
his way.
He wants it his way. And in order to get it his way, you have to define enemies. You have to have good guys and bad guys. Eric Reed, Colin Kaepernick, that side, they're the good guys. Anyone else, whether it's Ben Watson or Robert Kraft or Jay-Z, or
Malcolm
Roger
Jenkins.
Malcolm Jenkins.
He cut ties with Malcolm Jenkins, too, when this originally started.
Malcolm Jenkins is a bad guy
with Goodell in
Eric Reed's mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Who do you believe? Who do you believe? Do you believe Eric Reed didn't see Ben Watson's tweet? Or do you believe that Ben Watson made a pretty eloquent comment on this and Reed didn't like being shown up like that and then delivered a late hit to him in a preseason game? That's what I think happened.
Yeah. Again, only Eric Reed knows in his heart if he did that with any kind of malice because of that. But I think it's almost impossible to fathom that he was not aware of that tweet. A guy who is sort of outspoken in social media frequently about this topic didn't see that. I find that really, really hard to believe.
No, of course.
He was aware. He was aware of it. Now, does he process it as he's playing? That, I'm willing to say, is difficult to do. But in my mind, he was aware of the tweet. He was aware of the possibility that he'd be on the field with Watson and may have thought to himself, if I get a shot, I'm going to take it.
Yeah. Now, one good thing happened in all that. Ben Watson caught the ball. Not everybody caught the balls that Tom Brady threw at them last night. We'll talk about one of those guys in particular next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and Paul Perillo of Patriots.com filling in this morning. Tim McCona on headlines talking about last night's game and an incident in last night's game between Eric Reed and a late hit on Ben Watson of the Patriots. Now, this, I guess you could say, all started when the Panthers' safety went off on Jay-Z and Jay-Z's suggestion that the league has moved past kneeling during the national anthem. So Eric Reed said, among other things, I could be completely wrong, but since the $89 million announcement with the Players Coalition, what's come of that? We get to pretend we care about social justice. We get to pretend we care about the black community, and we get to hide behind Malcolm Jenkins' face, and we get to hide behind Jay-Z's.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.